Life is complex. Join us for the simple gifts of wisdom, love, and delight in the written word. The Everlasting Man by G.K. Chesterton. Part 2 on the Man Called Christ. Chapter 5, The Escape from Paganism. Part 4. The Catholic faith is the reconciliation because it is the realization both of mythology and philosophy. It is a story, and in that sense, one of 100 stories. Only, it is a true story. It is a philosophy, and in that sense, one of 100 philosophies. Only, it is a philosophy that is like life. But above all, it is a reconciliation because it is something that can only be called the philosophy of stories. That normal narrative instinct which produced all the fairy tales is something that is neglected by all the philosophies, except one. The faith is the justification of that popular instinct. The finding of a philosophy for it, or the analysis of the philosophy in it. Exactly as a man in an adventure story has to pass various tests to save his life, so the man in this philosophy has to pass several tests and save his soul. In both, there is an idea of free will operating under conditions of design. In other words, there is an aim, and it is the business of a man to aim at it. We therefore watch to see whether he will hit it. Now this deep and democratic and dramatic instinct is derided and dismissed in all the other philosophies, for all the other philosophies avowedly end where they begin. And it is the definition of a story that it ends differently, that it begins in one place and ends in another. From Buddha and his wheel, to Akhenaten and his disc, from Pythagoras with his abstraction of number, to Confucius with his religion of routine. There is not one of them that does not in some way sin against the soul of a story. There is none of them that really grasps this human notion of the tale, the test, the adventure, the ordeal of the free man. Each of them starves the storytelling instinct, so to speak, and does something to spoil human life considered as a romance, either by fatalism, pessimist or optimist, and that destiny that is the death of adventure, or by indifference, and that detachment that is death of drama, or by a fundamental skepticism that dissolves the actors into atoms, or by a materialistic limitation blocking the vista of moral consequences, or a mechanical recurrence making even moral tests monotonous, or a bottomless relativity making even practical tests insecure. There is such a thing as a human story, and there is such a thing as the divine story, which is also a human story. But there is no such thing as a Hegelian story, or a monist story, or a relativist story, or a determinist story. For every story, yes, even a penny dreadful or a cheap novelette, has something in it that belongs to our universe, and not theirs. Every short story does truly begin with creation, and end with a last judgment. And that is the reason why the myths and the philosophers were at war until Christ came. That is why the Athenian democracy killed Socrates out of respect for the gods, and why every strolling sophist gave himself the airs of a Socrates whenever he could talk in a superior fashion of the gods, and why the heretic Pharaoh wrecked his huge idols and temples for an abstraction, and why the priests could return in triumph and trample his dynasty underfoot. And why Buddhism had to divide itself from Brahmanism, and why in every age and country outside Christendom there has been a feud forever between the philosopher and the priest. it is easy enough to say that the philosopher is generally the more rational. It is easier still to forget that the priest is always the more popular. For the priest told the people stories, and the philosopher did not understand the philosophy of stories. It came into the world with the story of Christ. And this is why it had to be a revelation or vision given from above. Anyone who will think of the theory of stories or pictures will easily see the point. The true story of the world must be told by somebody to somebody else. By the very nature of a story, it cannot be left to occur to anybody. A story has proportions, variations, surprises, particular dispositions, which cannot be worked out by rule in the abstract, like a sum. We could not deduce whether or no Achilles would give back the body of Hector from a Pythagorean theory of number or recurrence. And we could not infer for ourselves in what way the world would get back the body of Christ, merely from being told that all things go round and round upon the wheel of Buddha. A man might, perhaps, work out a proposition of Euclid without having heard of Euclid, but he would not work out the precise legend of Eurydice without having heard of Eurydice. At any rate, he would not be certain how the story would end, and whether Orpheus was ultimately defeated. Still less could he guess the end of our story, or the legend of our Orpheus rising, not defeated from the dead. To sum up, the sanity of the world was restored, and the soul of man offered salvation by something which did indeed satisfy the two warring tendencies of the past, which had never been satisfied in full, and most certainly never satisfied together. It met the mythological search for romance by being a story, and the philosophical search for truth by being a true story. That is why the ideal figure had to be a historical character, as nobody had ever felt Adonis or Pan to be a historical character. But that is also why the historical character had to be the ideal figure, and even fulfill many of the functions given to these other ideal figures. Why he was at once the sacrificed and the feast. Why he could be shown under the emblems of the growing vine or the rising sun. The more deeply we think of the matter, the more we shall conclude that, if there be indeed a God, his creation could hardly have reached any other culmination than this granting of a real romance to the world. Otherwise, the two sides of the human mind could never have touched at all, and the brain of man would have remained cloven and double, one lobe of it dreaming impossible dreams, and the other repeating invariable calculations. The picture makers would have remained forever painting the portrait of nobody. The sages would have remained forever adding up numerals that came to nothing. It was that abyss that nothing but an incarnation could cover, a divine embodiment of our dreams. And he stands above that chasm whose name is more than priest and older even than Christendom. Pontifex Maximus, the mightiest maker of a bridge. But even with that, we return to the more specially Christian symbol in the same tradition, the perfect pattern of the keys. This is a historical and not a theological outline, and it is not my duty here to defend in detail that theology, but merely to point out that it could not even be justified in design without being justified in detail. Like a key. Beyond the broad suggestion of this chapter, I attempt no apologetic about why the creed should be accepted. But in answer to the historical query of why it was accepted and is accepted, I answer for millions of others in my reply. Because it fits the lock. Because it is like life. It is one among many stories. Only, it happens to be a true story. It is one among many philosophies. Only it happens to be the truth. We accept it, and the ground is solid under our feet, and the road is open before us. It does not imprison us in a dream of destiny or a consciousness of the universal delusion. It opens to us not only incredible heavens, but what seems to some an equally incredible earth, and makes it credible. This is the sort of truth that is hard to explain because it is a fact. But it is a fact to which we can call witnesses. We are Christians and Catholics not because we worship a key, but because we have passed a door and felt the wind that is the trumpet of liberty blow over the land of the living.
'Tis the gift to be simple. 'Tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we will not be ashamed. To turn, turn, will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come round right.